All right, easy video tonight. I'm probably gonna be on here tomorrow. We're celebrating my son's fourth birthday. The big guy, certain big force. I mean, the wife taking him out. I may be able to get on here and do a video for you guys. If you have something you want to ask me, you can pose a question via PM or whatever it may be. But today I'm going to answer two questions. I don't have to really dig around because you guys give me a lot of the material that you want covered. And I know if one person's asking the question, most of you guys have the same question. Again, I'm very thankful that I'm allowed to be here and that you guys take the time to listen to the things that I have to say and hearing from all over the country that everybody's getting value and providing information for folks. So let me read the first question to you. It's for my buddy Jimmy. He goes, "Hey, Den, if you ever need material for a quick video or answering my questions, me and Ferrer are tearing it up. We are getting a ton of ATS, ACS. So for the guys in who aren't New Jersey, ATS is, I think it's automated traffic system, some shit like that. And then the other one is ACS. So one's traffic, one's criminal. So they're getting warrants and under 50 arrests, which means marijuana, under 50 gram arrests. They're very small. Mm-hmm. My question is, you got a good car, but no smell of raw or burnt marijuana. Like maybe they got heroin or crack. What's a way to detect that versus a smell so we can start getting to more cars and getting a better arrest?" I know the question is very broad. Jimmy, I know you came to class. You're more than welcome to come back again because we're pals. But look, it comes down to behaviors, right? I recall one time I had a lieutenant of mine, and I called him and asked him for a dog. I'm like, "Hey, Lieutenant Stennis, you see me canine out here?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "What do you got, the odor of marijuana?" And this is the time we had Peña Flores. We didn't have the automobile exception. And you know, even though you had probable cause, you could search car. And I'm like, no, I don't have the odor of marijuana. He's like, "Well, what do you have?" And he's a good guy. Like, I'm not picking on the dude. He was a good dude. Like, he was a good guy. He's very enthusiastic. He loved the fact that I was proactive. But most of my bosses throughout the years, thank God, liked that I was proactive. Nobody ever. And even if I had new bosses that came along, they were like, "Yo, I'm not messing with this dude. Like, I know he's the proactive guy. He's going to go out." But a lot of them were very enthusiastic. I remember I switched sides and I got a car chase the first night. I was field training a kid. And the lieutenant was thrilled. He was so happy because they were like competitive the other side, whatever. So I said, he goes, "Well, how do you know what you got?" And I said, "I can't really explain to you over the phone. We can have a conversation when I come back, but you just got to trust my judgment. I just need a canine unit out here. There's no odor of marijuana. And not every time that somebody has something illegal, you're going to have the odor of marijuana." And I always emphasize that in class. Like, guys, if you are waiting to smell for the odor of marijuana to debate whether you're going to ask for consent or search a car, you're missing everything. Like, you're missing everything. I've had marijuana jobs where I've literally picked up the bags. If you stuck them to your nose, they were so tightly sealed, you weren't able to smell the weed. So how did I know the weed was there? Is because there's a process that we go through. And it starts the point we begin to build reasonable suspicion. When does that start? When the vehicle spots the law enforcement officer, or you spot that vehicle and notice some indicators about it. And that could be something like, if you get really good at identifying what vehicles are commonly tracked and a clear indication of a concealed compartment or tracked vehicle, obviously that's kind of how a lot of interdiction teams work. They look for those certain cars and those modifications. Two, they're going to have reactions to your presence. When you stop a car and you decided this is a good quality car, you have somebody step out and you're beginning your interview process on the side of the road, their stories are going to be inconsistent. A lot of things are going to happen. There's so many variables that I can't even explain in this one video because I would be doing disservice to all of you for not naming everything that can happen. Let me just give you the baseline advice. If things don't seem right, like it's a quote unquote typical traffic stop, like if you're running radar, 41 into 25 and you were stopping cars and it was just a simple transaction. Here, you're looking at vehicles. You're deciding that this car meets what you're looking for in criteria based on a number of different factors, but definitely to include some reaction to your presence. That's going to be your number one factor. Combinations can vary too. I know we've always talked about don't like cars. Most interdiction guys don't like cars any more than three passengers in the car. One to three passengers in a car is always going to be a better quality stop. If you have five people in a car, I get it. You may have warrants, but if you're looking for things that are going to yield higher rewarding stops, one to three passenger vehicles in my class, I go over the combinations that I personally have found to be more effective and have better results with. But, you know, I don't discuss that here because it could be misinterpreted and it's not unfair. It's just statistically, that's what I have discovered in my career when I was taking notes on the side of the road and the things that I experienced and wrote the program that I wrote. But Jimmy, you got to get your skills down. You got to get to that car. And I think what's happening with new guys is you're kind of getting afraid. You have to have that person step out. You have to have them step off to the side of the road. And you got to know what your Mac game is on the side of the road. You, like, it's like Mac into a chick, right? The better you get at your game, the more chicks you're going to be able to slay. It's just the way it goes, man. Did a little slaying back in my day. Did I right? I did pretty good, actually. Quite the reputation. But if you're sitting, again, we talked about the positioning of the car, back to the car, you're going to want to ask those baseline questions. You're going to want to appear to be, you know, very, very polite and cooperative and, you know, not antagonistic. But my advice to you is this, is get your game down, ask those questions, pose the ones I told you about, pose the questions about, is there anything illegal in the car? Request consent to search. Don't get hung up. Don't get caught up on, oh my God, do we have this? Do we have that? Get your game tight. Go out, swing, and practice. You got to keep hitting. You got to ask these questions. What you're doing is you're I don't even have any conversation with you, but I know what you're fucking doing. You're stopping cars. You're smelling weed. You're searching. That's the only time you're searching. You're stopping cars. You're asking for ID, and you're popping people with warrants. Okay? You're popping people with warrants. What you're not doing is you're not having people step out of the car, separating passengers and drivers and all the, and then begin an interview process to find out what's really going on in the car. You have to slow down. Take a step back and say, what am I missing here? What am I missing? You're rushing through the stop looking for the quick arrest. You've got to understand the psychology of somebody. When you can reverse engineer what people are thinking when they're engaging in criminal activity, like I was a pretty bad kid growing up. I kind of understand criminals because most of them were my friends. So if you can understand what people are up to and what they're feeling in a car, you're going to know that if you're able to interview people separate, you're going to break their stories down. That's what's called reasonable suspicion. Stories aren't making sense. They're not making sense. let's see. Joey Burns writes, Mims says to take people out for weapons officer safety. What can we use to ask people to step out of a driver and passenger, separate them for a stories lineup? How can we word that for a report? Separate stories lineup. How can we word that for a report and whatnot? All being patient, et cetera. Okay, so look. Joe, I know what you're saying. If you check out Pennsylvania versus Mims, you can ask a driver out of car without reasonable suspicion. Okay, that's a U.S. federal constitution. I don't know what everybody who's watching this video across the country, because we do have almost 12,000 members, and I know a lot of people are watching this video. It may be different in your state. This is what New Jersey says for the New Jersey guys who are participating. One, I've never been challenged with asking a driver out of a car. If you check, I think it's either Brian K. Smith or Brian L. Smith is a case. If you email me, dennis@streetcoptraining.com, I'll send you the case if you're curious. Actually, I'll just put it up in this thing. Don't fucking email it, please. 1,000 emails of people trying to ask me for the one case. So I'll just make it, I'll put it up in this. I'll find the wording. And it actually said that New Jersey, the MIMS test set forth in Pennsylvania versus MIMS satisfied New Jersey. Now, I'll tell you that when I took Holtz years ago, he emphasized that you don't really want to be taking people out on every motor vehicle stop. Like if you're running a 41 and a 25 threshold and you're writing tickets and you're pulling over Linda on her way to church with her three kids, you don't want to be asking Linda out of the car. But if you're pulling over a car that you've built up enough, even roadside, not even before you even have the stop, you've already built up enough reasonable suspicion to believe that something is incorrect or something's wrong in this car. I've never had somebody challenge it. Is your administrator who has never done criminal motor vehicle stops, am I going to challenge it? Yeah, but you're going to have to explain to them, hey, man, look, I'm going to try a new tactic tonight. You may not understand this. I wouldn't say that. Just say, like, I want you to understand what I'm trying to do here. This is a thing. I want to try it out. And hopefully you have somebody who deploys enough humility. It's going to say, yeah, man, I mean, I have never done that. But if you're going to try it, go ahead. We got your back on that. If you're having an administrator who's like, you can't ask people out of the car, blah, 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 blah. The guy's never read case law. He's been watching Netflix for 20 years. I can't. For the past 5 years, didn't have Netflix. Who's playing video games before that? And maybe watching Hulu when it came out, and YouTube when that came out. You can't translate what you're trying to do to somebody who has no idea what you're doing. All you can do is hope to educate them and understand what you're doing. That's what you really want to do when you start employing these tactics, right? Now, in New Jersey, interestingly enough, there's Brian K. Smith and Brian L. Smith, and I get that they're so close. One actually then talks about the MIMS test, us accepting it. The other one talks about asking passengers out of a car. This is in New Jersey, not in every other state. So remember, New Jersey case law. And what they require in New Jersey to ask passengers out of a car is something called a heightened caution. And it says that it's actually far less than reasonable suspicion that somebody's armed and dangerous. It can be things like proximity to traffic, bad weather, occupants outnumbered police officers. Certainly, and they actually say you just need one. You just need one of those reasons. Tinted windows, So don't get hung up. Guys, I've never been challenged. Never. And I've had a lot of arrests. I've had a lot of people out of a car. I have never been challenged on asking people out of a car. That has not been something that has come up. Don't get hung up on things because maybe you're Paul told Steve at midnight muster and Susan told Joan at lunch today that about don't listen to these people. If they don't know what they're talking about, you must listen to your supervisors, but you got to go with what the case law says, what the facts are, the experience of people who are out here doing this stuff. What I will also tell you is this, for the new guys who haven't seen my video that I did, employing politeness and being courteous to people not only makes you a better person, it doesn't feed into their bullshit, but it will cut down on internal affairs complaints dramatically. I see that some of you get internal affairs complaints like I get sandwiches for lunch, which is not that often, but enough where I eat a sandwich a week. There's a reason with your, listen, everybody's going to get an internal here and there. It's going to happen. The nicest guys in the world get an internal here and there once in a while. But I didn't have complaints filed on me because I was always very polite and explained myself well. Be a good communicator on these stops. The better communicator you are, the better interviewer, and back to what we're talking about, the better you'll be able to understand what's happening when you're having these motor vehicle stops, okay? All about being patient on the side of the road. Yeah, man, Flo Flores, that's right. I don't know what your real name is, but I'm sure that's not. So Joey Burns, I hope that answers your question, man. You just have to understand the case law, and you have to then explain to your administrators or anybody who's going to be overseeing or dictating or Monday morning quarterbacking your progress or the way you're acting and behaving and whatever at work, that, like, yeah, that's what we're going to do. All right, let me go down a little bit. Jimmy, I'm going to finish up with answering your question. I got one more question to answer. Yeah. So Joe, yeah, if your admin's on board, man, like I said, I've always had a supportive administration, you know, at least for 98% of my career. Even the bosses who didn't like know or ever employ this stuff, like they were never critical. I never had a hard time. I just never did. It was a place where like you didn't get punished for doing work and you didn't get punished for not doing work. And that was fine with me. Like, did I want 30 other of my coworkers ripping cars and having a blast and car chase on? Yeah, but like, it's okay, man. I still had a great time. And they were always there. My coworkers were always there when I needed to be there. They were always there when I needed to be there too. All right. What is your punchline for asking consent? Do you just ask the question or do you lead up to the asking if they have anything illegal? Yeah, man. So listen, in New Jersey, and it's even a good advice for other states. There was a case that somebody sent me today. It was, I believe it was Colorado versus some Hernandez or something like that. And it's interesting that we see cases that have unfolded here in New Jersey, and then they go to the federal level years later and they rule the same as Jersey. So here's some good advice. Just like any other cop, I would build up my reasonable suspicion as much as possible. The better show you're going to put on the screen, you know, on your MVR, or the better report you're going to be able to write if you don't have an MVR, is the details you went into to confirm or dispel your suspicions of criminal activity. So when you really got somebody caught up and they're tripping up and they're nervous and they're doing weird things and now their story's really falling apart, that's the right time to strike while the iron's hot. And sometimes you can play dumb or you can be very assertive in the fact that, like, look, man, your story doesn't make sense. I have to believe at this point that there may be something illegal in the car. Do you have anything illegal in the car? And at that point, we know that they may subconsciously telegraph and look back at the car. They become more increasingly nervous. You got to just know what your game is. And then you can ask it, okay, would you give me consent to search the motor vehicle? And that's fine. They don't have to. And you never want to try to convince people because you're scared to call for a dog. Don't ever try to convince people like, look, if you give me consent, fuck that. Uphold the law. If they're invoking the right to refuse a consent search, let them invoke their right and then take the route of calling for a canine unit to sniff for narcotics. Or if you don't have one available, going the route of contacting whoever it may be to get a search warrant for the vehicle, but you're going to need probable cause. Here's another little tip. I'd say trick and tip at the same time. After you know something's wrong with the car, go back around the car again and take a real good look in the car. I can't tell you how many times that I knew something was wrong, but just didn't do a real good look on my first approach. Go back, take your flashlight, and really look around the car. I'm like, oh, shit, cancel the dog. Well, I got it. Cancel the dog. Call them off. We got it. Open the door. It was in plain view. And, you know, so just go back around the car a second time. It's a really, really good tactic to use. But that's when I'll pull the trigger. is once you've built up enough reasonable suspicion. Look, if you have the odor of marijuana on a motor vehicle stop, there's no denying that you smell marijuana. You can just come out and say it's probable cause. I smell the odor of marijuana. If you're gonna go for it in New Jersey, just so everybody knows, according to the exact law now until we get some new rulings, if you're gonna have a small amount of marijuana, you go into the trunk, you're gonna have to go into a consent search. So you know, you may want to just address that right off the hop. Hey, your car smells like weed. But for a consent, most states don't need to do that. But for a consent, you're going to just want to build up your reasonable suspicion, then pull the trigger on your questioning. Hopefully that answers your question there. Yeah, no, Alex, I was kind of referring to your Snapchat today. Anyway, so Jimmy, if you need more help with this, man, we're going to be filming the next class that is the 19th and 20th coming up real soon, man. Not even 2 weeks, right? Less than 2 weeks, Roman College, being hosted by Deptford for the fourth time. Over 100 guys in that class. We will have some good quality stuff. I'm going to really try to placate to the camera very well so I can give you guys as much footage from the class as I can. If I put 2 days of video on Facebook, you guys would lose your mind. Nobody's going to sit here. So we try to give it to you bits and pieces and make it digestible so you don't just like sit here and be like, Jesus, when does this fucking video end? It's all good quality stuff, but the experience and the energy that I give when you're coming to a class is very different than watching a video. You're getting an understanding of what I do in class, but truth be told, and anybody can test this, the way I present and the energy I try to project and my goal to give you the most interesting and valuable training experience of your career. And, you know, a lot of people come back and say like, hey, it was the best class I ever took. It's because I consciously give a shit about how you leave that class. Not only do I want you being entertained for 2 days, but I want you to feel like $1 million when you leave. Even if you know it all, I promise you, you can always find a nugget when we go to class. It's not a right hook for you to come to class. If you want to come, you want to come. If not, I will continue to deploy free content nonstop all day, every day. So Jimmy, got to get good with that game, man. If you want me to email you my videos, Jim, I'm not going to email them to everybody. Or you want to stop by the office, brother, we can go into detail one-on-one. Come in, we'll go into detail, and I'll try to really, because you're my friend, help you. If you want to bring the other kid in with you, I'll kind of go over stuff with – we'll really hit that subject hard. Maybe we can record it without your face in it because I'm sure they'll love that. All right, last question is – and Christopher Nicole. Dude, I didn't answer you because I'm going to answer you in the video. Hopefully you're watching this. Question for you. Pedestrian shop, one person for warrants, NCIC out of Florida. In-state pickup only. You got nothing. Nothing New Jersey. Without asking for consent to search bags, can you arrest based on warrant, search and to arrest while dispatch is verifying ORI will pick up or not pick up? I would say no. You're not going to be able to do that. You're going to have to ask for consent. That's it, man. That's a simple question. We have case law that says that if warrants were vacated prior, there's ones with MVC, mistaken MVC information or, you know, from your computer, MDT information or whatever it may be. But also, I'm going to say no on that one just because they have had cases where people are arrested on expired warrants or records weren't updated. They were arrested. Some illegal narcotics were found incident to arrest, and they were later suppressed. So I'm going to say no at that junction. Now, if you're on an investigative detention and somebody's acting really froggy or they're acting really strange, stupid fucking word we all use, that dumb froggy thing. I was like, they're acting fucked up. And you have to employ handcuffs. You can see State versus Dickey in New Jersey. You can employ handcuffs to control the situation. And that may be, maybe you're building up reasonable suspicion to believe the person's armed and dangerous. You know, you can take actions at the scene. You can always put handcuffs on and take them off later, even in New Jersey, without affecting custodial arrest, if the situation warrants or dictates so. So, man, let's see. I can't answer that one. James, man, I'm gonna have to write that guy. That's one he's asked me about his supervisor. I'm not gonna answer that one. Not on the live thing. Anyway, guys, hopefully this provided you value. I don't know if I'm gonna be here tomorrow. If you need anything, reach out to me. I will try to help everybody out. Questions are coming in a lot. I try to get to everybody. If you're texting me at 10:30 at night, like I'm an old man, I go to fucking sleep early. So I'll get to you, I promise. Right? I don't know how big this thing's gonna get. Hopefully I'll be able to get to everybody. I'll see you later.